listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Dude, God was
a friend of mine. She was smoking a bong in bed. Her boyfriend's drunk or whatever, in bed sleeping. And I forget what exactly happened, but she calls out to God and said, if you're real, I want to know. I want you to visit me now because I will never, ever say this prayer again. Now, folks, you can't demand what Jesus does, but there is a point you get to where I don't know how it is, because if I could do it, I would have many treasures physically on the earth. It's happened to me a few times, but you come up to this level. It's not demanding of God. It's just saying, we have a covenant here, relationship. This has got to be. I got it. And so all of a sudden she said she felt this peace that came over here, blah, blah, blah. So she goes to sleep. She gets up in the morning. She says, do we have a Bible? And so they didn't have a Bible. So he runs out, buys her a Bible, brings it back. So she's still smoking her bong during the day or drinking whatever she's doing. But the strength of the Holy Spirit's getting stronger in her. She starts reading the Bible on her own. And then a week later, she says to her boyfriend, you got to move out. I'm never going to marry you. Poor guy. And so slowly, but slowly, she truly came to know the Lord. I don't recommend all the things that we're saying have happened to people, to others. With me, no. It was fast and hard. There are people who give up drinking and are delivered, and then they go back and they die. They don't come back. So you can't play games with God. Everybody has their own story. Some people maybe come slowly. Others, if God has fast and hard saved you from the fires of hell, I suggest you don't go back to sin if at all possible. But anyway, because you never know.
There's a lot of just dry alcoholics, and I do exactly. Have a ministry where they just trade it for something else, you know, and they're in torment.
Well, I never drank until I was 55, not till 55. My mother dies, other circumstances in my life, and I started drinking Glenlivet Scotch. In a matter of months, there was an addiction. It's every night. I go to have dinner with a cardiologist friend of mine, and I said, hey, I'm drinking every night. He says, that's okay. After 50, we have a hard time assimilating stress. He gave me the go-ahead. So I knew I was addicted. Then I kept trying to stop on my own. And then finally, 2 o'clock in the morning, I think it was 2 o'clock, I know I must have been really high on alcohol, and I had a moment, what they call clarity, and I said, okay. I said, I can't do this on my own. I just can't do it. I can't seem to stop. And then a short time later, I ended up in the rooms of AA and with a bunch of strangers who helped me, got the gift of desperation, and never haven't had a drink since except a couple times in a church. I went to church with former president, Bush, and he and Barbara are sitting here. And so the chalice comes by with the body and blood of Christ at St. Anne's up in Kennebunk. And, of course, I took a little sip. Of course, you know, I told somebody, oh, did you ask your sponsor? Calm down. You know, it didn't tempt me. You know, I never liked wine anyway, really. But I'm not going to deny the body and blood of Jesus Christ either. That reminds me. I had a vision in the night. I think it was last night. And it was like I could physically see the body and blood of Christ. This is all vague. You know how things come to you? You forget about them?
Totally.
Jeez, what was that all about? Anyway, we'll talk about that in the future. So we're talking, by the way, they split up the show right now. We're going to be maybe doing a show where it's all plays at least once a week in its entirety. But we split this up. I'm talking to my friend James Wrench. I guess you're my friend. Are you my friend?
Yes. I think so.
Well, so we both had born-again experiences. He comes to see my wife in the hospital, and she's healed miraculously of meningitis. But something else happened that day. Now, that night, it's a dark, rainy night. Folks, if you've been to hell and back, you know what it's like to be on the tunnel where there is no, you don't think there's any hope. It's inch by inch, day by day, minute by minute, you're holding on for dear life. You know, is she going to die or not die? Oh my God, operation, 12 different operations or whatever. So anyway, we go downstairs and you said, not only don't keep begging God, just thank him for the healing. She is healed because, you know, okay. Faith. It's written that without faith, it's impossible to please God.
I just want to say, because faith is believing the word of God over the circumstances or the doctors. But you got to have a scripture, you know, by Jesus stripes I'm healed. Or, you know, there's a ton of them in there for healing.
Yeah.
But people say I have faith and they aren't standing on anything, you know. And faith isn't just, I just believe. No, it's
faith
taking
in God.
God's word and believing that. So yeah. Lay hands of sick, they shall recover. That's it. I don't care what the doctors say. Don't speak death ever anymore. Don't invite nothing in.
Yeah. And so we go downstairs and you say, now I don't know you from Adam. And you said, the Lord is telling me to hug you like a father. Now, you have to understand how odd this is, because I'm 6'3". How tall are you?
5'8".
5'8". He's this little guy, you know. He's very diminutive. And you're about the size of one of my earthly idols. I'm not supposed to have any idols, so he's not really an idol, but whatever. Bob Dylan, you know. Mm. And, boy, for a little guy, he's sure come out with a lot of good poetry. But anyway, you said, the Lord is telling me to hug you like a father. And I'm thinking, well, is this guy, you know, gay or something? Well, he wants to hug me. I don't know.
Imagine being the one he's asking to ask people.
No. So he gives me this hug. Now, of course, I accepted it, you know, the best I could. Okay, this is a stranger.
He had me speak some words to you.
Pardon me?
He had me speak some words to you.
Do you remember what they
were? I stood in for your father and just told you you were a good son and I was proud of you and that I loved you. Standing in for your dad. I said these are the words God would have had your dad speak to you.
Yeah, my father, well, you didn't know, but my father was killed in a car accident the day before my fifth birthday. And so I'd never known what it was like to be hugged by a guy. I never knew what it was like to have a father. I didn't even know how to really score a football game because nobody ever stepped up beside me and became a mentor. And that's why I urge people now, if at all possible, you get somebody in your family, maybe you have a brother or sister who's lost a husband or wife, step in. Step in if you can.
Yeah.
You know, boys particularly need a masculine figure. But he does say this. He says, I am the father to the orphan, right? The Lord?
Yeah.
He also says, bring me to remembrance of my promises, right?
Yes.
So he told the wrong guy in this case. I've gotten great favor. I go, I'm still doing it now at 70. You promised you're the father to the orphan. Oh, he's probably going, oy vey, what am I going to do? This guy won't believe me. I'm God. I'm not a man that I should lie. Okay, what do you want? And I'm not saying I always get everything I want, but I am saying it's extraordinary, some of the favor I've gotten. But I want people to know, if you had a father, you don't understand. You only get to look under, see the glass coming, the light coming under the door a little bit. But, you know, when you've had a physical father who stood beside you, there's an anchor in your soul in this world, in this life. There's an anchor, and that you get from having that relationship, you know. And so.
Yes, and you'll see the confidence in people that had a loving father that was not a conditional love, because conditional love can make it worse.
Yeah.
You know, like. You think if you're conditional or people manipulate their children, if you love your mom, you'd pick your toys up. Well, those children grow up and then they think God loves them when they're doing good. And then when they mess up, they think God don't love them. And it's very bad.
And this is why, you know, I mean, this is why, you know, I follow suit with the Jews. The Jews, at least half my family's Jewish, the children can do no wrong. And I'm sorry, but I believe that's the way it should be. You should live for your children, you know, absolutely be dedicated to your children, because I remember my friend Margaret when I was in my early 20s said, how come you always did so well in school? She said, because we're told that we can do it, and that, you know, the Bible says confess things that are not as though they were. I hate it when you see goyim is a word for non-Jew. When you see goyims like myself, remember the other side of my family is Jewish, I'm not Jewish, but although maybe I am now through the blood of Jesus, but you know, you goyims put their children. Don't stop that. Stop it. Stop it. And so, you know, but anyway, so that was pretty remarkable, though, that you would give me a hug. Who am I that you should give me a hug and say this is like a father? You had no idea. I don't even think I told you that night. I didn't tell you that night. So I'm chewing on what you did maybe for months, maybe for these years. I'm chewing and going, that guy that hugged me, he had no idea that I didn't have a father. Isn't that remarkable that he would take an utter and complete stranger and tell him to hug me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that wild?
That's God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's God, yeah. And so so you get born again. And so when did you got born again, and you said you rattled for about like 4 hours or something? You just...
Yeah.
Shaking?
Yeah.
Why
I don't know if it was like that, but it was just... Huh?
Why do you think that was him? And what happened next?
Just the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, then I was convicted of sin. But
did
I was
the
never
girl
convicted.
Get born again too, or no?
I don't know. She got born again. She got saved. She was saying the sinner's prayer, but Her life wasn't changing like mine.
No. So she went off on her own, and do you ever know what happened to her?
Yeah, she lives up north.
Oh, okay.
Think she's doing good.
Okay, well, that's good. So, I guess there's people that might bump into this broadcast, and he has a way of doing that, too, just at the right time. I mean, I was interviewing a guy who was talking about a man who taught him the restauranting business, and apparently the man who taught him that 30 years ago, 40 years ago, had died. His son is coming down I-95, happens to tune in to my show at the moment that we're talking about his father with this guy. He takes a left-hand turn, comes into town here, and meets up with a guy. Said, I heard you on the radio. And by the way, that was not live. It had been recorded maybe a month earlier. It just happened to be played at that time. He happened to be in a car going down I-95, happened to be in earshot of these radio waves and hearing it, and then goes to the guy's restaurant and say, you know, my father, I'm the son of the man who taught you the restauranting business. And I guess they had a great... I mean, to me, that's, you know... But we have these miracles all the time.
Amen.
You know? Just like with you coming in there. So what's going on in your world these days? Now, I didn't know you had a show on WCNO. You said it's every morning or...
No, Fridays at 5.
Fridays at 5 a.m.
Yes.
And, you know, people ask me why I have my show on at 3 a.m. Because that's when I started secretly watching the 700 Club. I did not know the Lord. I thought Jesus was a bunch of gibberish. You know, God, that guy come as a man, you know. Oh, God's the ethereal God, you know, and we have to work out. We have to earn our way into heaven by doing good deeds and karma and all this stuff. Instead of, you know, Christianity is the only religion. You know, every other religion, you have to die. You have to die for Muhammad. You have to die for this one. You have to do this. You have to, you know, a Buddhist, you got to come back 10 million times so your soul can grow. And this is the only one where Jesus said, no, you don't have to die. I died for you. I did it. It's a gift. You know, and I recently went to a memorial. I don't think you were there. Were you at that memorial for the police they had recently?
No.
And one of the quotes they had, there was at St. Bernadette's down in Port St. Lucie. What a beautiful church. But anyway, all these police officers that were there and the victims, the families of these officers that have been, you know, one guy stopped, remember, recently, was helping them. They were out of gas, giving them gas, and they shot the police officer dead. Now his children have no father. But anyway, the Bible says Jesus said, man had no greater gift than to lay down his life for his friend.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Take me to the edge of sun.